It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Two Georgia residents were honored by President Obama last week. The pair are former Olympians who medaled in the 1968 Games in Mexico City.
In the center of the field is Tommy Smith running through. President Peter Norman runs a play. Smith, full muscle and all, couldn't have pulled it that badly. He beat John Carlos.
Tommy Smith took home the gold in the 200-meter dash while John Carlos clinched the bronze. But what happened on the awards podium was an even bigger headline. Smith and Carlos raised their gloved fists in a Black Power salute, and the reaction was both swift and widespread.
Good morning to you. The Olympic Games are 1 week old today, and yesterday, the sixth day, was the most dramatic so far. It started with the news that the Black Power disciples Tommy Smith and John Carlos, the Olympic 200 meters gold and bronze medalists, had been suspended by the United States Olympic Committee and given 48 hours to leave Mexico.
Former Olympic athlete Tommy Smith joins us now to talk about that iconic moment and being acknowledged by the president. Welcome.
Good morning to you.
But we did speak with John Carlos as well, and I wanted to actually play a comment to get our conversation started from John Carlos. And I asked him about higher paid athletes like Serena Williams becoming more politically active, and then some cautioning that, say, for example, Serena could hurt her career and hurt her earnings if she starts speaking out on political issues. And here's what John Carlos said about that.
It's not about the money. That's what Mr. Kaepernick is saying right now. You know, when I made my statement 28, 48 years ago, I had $13 in my bank account. This young man had $13 million in his account. He's showing the rest of the athletes, this is not about how much money you have or how much money you don't have. You know, Serena, I'm sure she will survive if they took the endorsements away from her. I'm sure Mr. Kaepernick will survive if they took the endorsements away from her. If they feel that, you know, that they're going to move her away from endorsements because she chose to stand up for what's right in society, I don't need those products anyway, if that's the attitude those individuals have, because it makes me think maybe behind closed doors, those sponsors might have a different view about how society should be run.
So let me ask you about that, Tommy Smith. Did it run through your mind at all how your message in back in 1968 might affect your career, your earnings, your future?
Well, you know, it depends on the individual. John Carlos was talking about it. It depends on the individual how one might view any type of involvement such as this. It also has a lot to do with gender and the involvement and the succession in society. You know, we had no money back then, and we decided to do this because it was a needed thing to do, and we did it from a college perspective and not a financial perspective. I had no career. I had no education. My sacrifice was a little bit different than both people who have money. One can view it as I have my money, therefore I can do anything I want to. Another aspect could be I have my money and I want to give a decision to the listeners or to the hearers or to the seers or to the doers that it doesn't matter how much money I have. It's from the soul and not from the financial standpoint or financial banking system. So it depends on the individual. You can't take a Serena and put her in the same category as Tommy Smith. You can't take Kaepernick and put him in the same category as John Carlos. These are individual moves that the participant have. So don't put me in the same package as you put someone else who does the same thing. We have different ideas about what we're doing. As long as it's nonviolent, as long as it pertains to the system, as long as it pertains to inequality or policing and nonviolent change, I think the conversation should be around what one think about it themselves and not categorize it with a group of people who are doing something very similar.
Now, the Kaepernick we're referring to is San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick. He continues his protest. He continues to kneel during the national anthem before games. And he told reporters his purpose is to bring greater attention to the issue of police violence and social injustice.
There's people being murdered unjustly and not being held accountable. Cops are getting paid leave for killing people. That's not right. I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. And when there's significant change and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand.
So without putting the both of you in the same category, Tommy, there is a similarity to the symbolism of your action and then that of Colin Kaepernick. Yours was on a world stage. Yeah, so when something is a symbolic gesture, what is the effectiveness of this? How effective can a gesture like that be?
Well, if you get the ball, across the plate, you can throw a 98-mile-an-hour ball, you can throw a 65-mile-an-hour ball, as long as it's going toward the same point of concern. That I can understand. But in 68, we had a platform of South Africa, Rhodesia, more coaches, more African American or coaches of color hired, housing. We had things that were identifying to the college campus and the human rights issue. So we had two different things going at the same time, and people understood that by us being black athletes, Americans, and the human rights issue. Yes, we were both throwing the ball toward the plate, but they had different speeds because of where we were in society, what platform we took, etc. Serena would be in a different category, and depending on what she stood or what she wouldn't do because of how she believed, it's a sociological point that one must keep as straight as possible and identify what they're trying to do, not doing it because someone else is doing it. And I don't believe the athletes who are doing with Colin is doing it because they're trying to back him. They're doing it because what he's doing, they also agree with. It's the point.
So here is President Obama welcoming you and John Carlos to the White House for a ceremony with this year's Olympic athletes. So here is the president speaking to both of you.
I want to, as a consequence, take a minute to thank some people who paved the way to create that sense that we're in this together. We're honored to have here the legendary Tommy Smith and John Carlos here today. We're honored. Proud of them. You know, they're powerful, silent protest in the 1968 Games was controversial, but it woke folks up and created greater opportunity for those that followed.
So it's been nearly a half a century.
Yeah, it has.
What do you think took so long?
Well, changing of the staff. You had Avery Brundage, Douglas Roby back then doing all the necessary political work for the USOC, also the IOC then, both Americans, and the silent protest. You know, these things that I'm talking about now, the silent protests, they were very well organized, and they started long before that day in Mexico City. So we did have a platform. It was a silent protest. So people viewed that protest as a protest for equality, for justice, and they spoke in their own words. We didn't speak for them. Colin is speaking for him, and others are understanding that. But Tommy Smith, John Carlos stood physically, and they were viewed. A picture means more than a thousand words, and we were like a picture. So we were hung in walls of campus students and student athletes because they identified themselves with that picture and their problems. I said earlier that each individual, no matter what problem he or she has, must explain what they're doing and why they're doing it. John Carlos and Tommy Smith stood. That explanation was coming from others of how they felt about that particular platform. Again, a sociological view of a need to stand for something.
If you're just joining us, my guest is former Olympic athlete Tommy Smith, who won the gold medal in the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. He now lives in Georgia and was honored last week at the White House, both he and fellow athlete John Carlos. So we got this tweet from a listener in terms of the question whether activism belongs in sports. Question, where does activism belong? Bart tweets, answer, nowhere. So it has to belong exactly where it doesn't belong. That's what makes it activism. And this is something that I brought up with John Carlos as well, in response to the people who say Colin Kaepernick is an athlete and he needs to focus on his sport and quit making political statements. Here's what John Carlos said.
John, that's a stupid statement. That's a stupid statement. That's the same stupid-ass statement that they made 48 years ago. How do you tell an individual that you are suspended from society because you're an athlete, that you shouldn't have any concerns about the well-being of those individuals that you grew up with in your community? That's like telling a minister he's not supposed to go to church on Sunday.
So how do you feel about this particular issue? Those who are saying Colin Kaepernick's being paid for a job and kneeling during the national anthem or making a political protest is not part of that job.
Let's continue where John left off. I think it's a comment the individual called in is just as bad as the decision the 1968 that the president of the IOC made about John Carlos and Tommy Smith, saying saying that movements like Carlos and Smith has no place in the Olympic movement. But in 1936, he was in justice or in favor of being ruled or moved like the SS of Hitler. I think people in any position, even Colin Kaepernick, has a right to voice his opinion in this particular a flow of life. Now, it's hard because some people, just like I did a few minutes ago, stumble over a need to identify specifically. There's no specifics about what Colin Kaepernick has or have not delved in before he did this. Yes, he has a concern. He used the only platform that he knew how, or the only platform that he had was to voice his opinion. You know, that wasn't the first time Colin didn't stand for the national anthem. He did this. He would recognize this one time, and it exploded
from
there.
Yeah, it was the first time someone noticed.
Before someone noticed. So it's an ideal cause for him to do what he did, and I think anyone who says that play your sports and let everything else go, they take the humanistic point out of that person's life.
Do you feel as though your protest ended up impacting your future and your career? Do you think it changed the course of your life?
Well, I had not lived that life before, so I can only say that what I viewed, I believe it had a tendency to make people view me negatively because it had never been done before. And the ideal cause of why it was done was the same reason those people decided to call in and refute the physical movement that John Carlos and Tommy Smith had, because they knew either. Status quo is always safe to live in, because the only place you're going to hurt is what you're sitting on. We move in an optimistic position, nonviolently, to make a change in what we were standing for. We had a reason to stand because we pointed the reason out. Then we said nothing about the reason because we had already spoken what we were trying to do an entire year before. How do you think that the athletes on that team knew the need for us to do what we did? Each athlete, and it was decided by this before we got to Mexico, that each athlete would represent himself according to how he felt the country represented them. So it was nonviolent, and each athlete had a part in playing with how he believed.
So let me play you one more comment that your former colleague John Carlos said. And this is when I was asking about whether or not athletes, because of their position, are obliged to stand up for what they think is injustice. And here was his response.
How you know do they have obligation when they can wait until their mama get hit across the head or get killed because they came to the wrong house? You darn tootin' they have obligation. You know, and for individuals such as Shaq and Jerry Rice changed his mind. But I see all of the naysayers out there. And the question is, down the line, how are they going to come out in history? Which side of the road are they going to be classified on that day?
What do you think about that, whether or not athletes are obliged to use the position they've been given to speak out?
It's their position. They fought for that position. They can do what they feel is necessary while they're in that position. And I do think it's a necessity for athletes, especially athletes, who have a world stage to proactively move in a direction to make a nation stronger. There are those who say what we did is freedom enough. I don't believe freedom comes in what other people say about what I just did. I, constitutionally speaking, That's where the freedom is, and it is written. And if one doesn't get it, it is written in the Constitution to say one must lobby to change it. So the athletes are in a position to change the eyes of young folks who are coming up. They need a platform, and this is a nonviolent platform. They can talk all they want, but they must have a plan to explain what they mean about what they do. And, of course, anytime you go against status quo, there's going to be different nonviolent attitudes toward what one does. And no malicious intent, nonviolent is the answer, and whether it's directly or indirectly. Consequences, yes, they must be understood, must have a plan to explain, and follow up with verbal explanation. Nonviolence is the finality of explanation. Period. Sad.
Former Olympic athlete Tommy Smith, he won the gold medal in the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City, now lives in Georgia. He and fellow athlete John Carlos were honored last week at the White House for their now iconic moment of lifting their fists during the podium ceremony. Tommy, thank you so much.
My pleasure.